soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Blessings. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day, 2013. And this talk today is about living our Christhood. You remember Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those that do the will of my Father in heaven." And so, those that do the will of my Father in heaven are Christ, are demonstrating their Christhood. Only Christ can do the will of the Father in heaven. There comes a point in our spiritual growth where we have to ask ourselves, are we practicing these principles? Are we still practicing these principles for the good that I might receive? Am I still looking for some personal good, such as health or such as companionship or supply? Do I not believe that all these things are added unto me when I seek first how to demonstrate Christhood? Are these just pretty poetic words? Or is there a principle here? There is a principle here, and the principle is, to him that hath, it shall be given, and to him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he has. That principle puzzled me for a long time, until I began to live and demonstrate the principles of Christhood, even in a little measure. Then I began to understand that principle. Now, my observation over the years is that some people have a difficulty with supply. They always seem to be limited. There's not much supply coming in and not much going out, and they're having a problem in that area. Other people demonstrate supply quite beautifully, but there's a problem with health, with life, with living, and they're limited in that area, and they have problems. They don't know how to solve them. And some people demonstrate health and life and living perfectly fine, but they're alone, and they have a problem finding the right companion. They have a problem with companionship. They may say to the person experiencing lack and limitation, "I don't understand it. Supply is so easy to demonstrate." And the one experiencing lack and limitation may feel, "Why are you alone? I mean, God is everywhere. How can you not be a companion to God?" And so each of us has the area where we need to practice these principles perhaps a little more diligently than our neighbor. Yet, all of us will come to the place where we can practice that principle and demonstrate that we have, that we really are the Christ. Now, I'm going to talk about myself today, but only so that I can point out the principle and how it is that I practice it. Not so that you can think there's anything great about me, because there isn't. I can tell you without hesitation that Of myself I can do nothing. This I know. However, I also know that with Christ all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I know that too. And if I did not admit that to you, I would be a liar. So, please take this talk today and in your good graces and not think that I'm trying to brag or anything, because I'm not. But it is important to understand the principle. Now, we say that we want to live as Christ, and we're ready to give up our humanhood. And yet we turn around and we look at my bank account, my companions, and my health. Now, there can be no such thing in the kingdom of heaven. Incidentally, the kingdom of heaven is not some place you're going to go to, not even some place you're going to attain. The kingdom of heaven is here and now. You're standing in the middle of it. The only thing that's preventing you from seeing it, from feeling it, from the conscious awareness of it, is this personal sense of life, a life in which you have my finances, my companions, and my health. That's the very thing that must be seen through in order to demonstrate your Christhood, in order to demonstrate that you have. And we don't want to give it up. I know I certainly didn't. It had to be practically ripped from my hands. Once upon a time, maybe 40 years ago, I was married, happily married, I thought, although that was a lie because we were having problems and I was just denying them. And one day I came home and she said, "I'm leaving. I've met this other fellow, John, and I'm moving in with him." And she took our one-year-old son and she moved in with him. And the next day I came home from work and I was just dashed to pieces. I looked through the house and the baby's room was empty. There was nothing but blue walls, not even a crib. And I looked in our room and all her things were missing. There was a big, gigantic king-size bed and nothing there but my pillows and bedspread. And even in the kitchen, things that she liked were missing. And there was no note or anything. Just like that, she was gone. And so my world fell to pieces. And I didn't know what to do. And I felt like, well, it must be my fault. I had a spiritual advisor at the time. His name was Don, and he had given me a copy of The Art of Meditation. And I had been reading it for about a year and a half. I was trying to practice the principles, but I wasn't getting anywhere. I was praying to God to show me how to love. And he was about to do just that. And boy, I didn't... Once that prayer was answered, I was sorry I ever prayed it for quite a while. And so I went over to Don's house and I said, "What do? I can't take it. These thoughts. I see her with other guys and these thoughts, they just drive me crazy." And he said to me something that you don't hear very often. He said, "You know, most people would get out of this problem by transferring their love to another woman. But," he said, "if you did that in a very short time, you'd be just as dependent on the next one. Because, you see, you're not hurting from love. You're hurting from dependency. you need her. Well, what do I do about that? How do I get over that? Well, he said, I don't know. You're going to have to find a way to transfer your feelings to God. He said, you're going to have to transfer that love you feel or felt for her over to God. Well, I can't, how do I do, I can't see God. How do I do that? I can't hold God at night. Well, he said, I have a feeling there's something for you in that book, The Art of Meditation, but I can't tell you what it is. You have to find it for yourself. And so I went home, and I had two principles. One was that I was going to have to find a way to let go of her. And two, I was going to have to find a way to transfer my feelings to God. And I had asked him, I said, what do I do when these thoughts come of her with these other guys? He said, you live by yourself, so just talk out loud and say, hey, I've given that problem to God. It's not mine. I'm not working on the problem. The answer's not in the problem. And so I took that too. Took that home, and I fell apart. I was not able to do it. Here's what happened. I became so depressed. I don't know if you've ever been that depressed. Depressed where it's hard to move your body. I would get up in the morning, and the first thing, of course, I would see is that she was not there. The bed was empty. Go in and have my coffee. Couldn't eat. Drag myself down, get on the bus, go to work. I worked in a factory. Push. Do you ever be that depressed that you have to push your body around? I pushed my body around all day. I went through the motions. And then at night, I'd walk down the driveway to the back house where we had lived. Open the door, search the house. Nobody was there. Just me. I pop down on the couch and cry my eyes out. And then I got mad at God. I'd yell at God, I asked you to teach me how to love, and you take away the only person I love. What are you doing? And then I'd get down on the floor and beg him for help. Please take this pain away. Oh, I was crazy. Probably certifiably so. I'm sure they would have said, oh, nervous breakdown, and given me some medication if there had been a doctor present. Finally, I turned to The Art of Meditation. I remembered that Don said there was something for me in there. And so I opened the book just anywhere, and I came upon For Love Is of God. And I thought, well, that may have something to do with it. This, maybe there's a principle in here I can use. And I got down to this part here where it says, the essential ingredient of all satisfactory relationships is love. Our love for God is made manifest in our love for man. And remember, he told me to transfer my feelings, my love to God. And so I'm looking and I'm reading as if my life depends on it, because it did. And I'm reading, how do I love God? And here it says, our love for God is made manifest in our love for man. We are not only one with God, but we are one with the children of God, with our families and relatives, with our church members, with our business associates, with our friends. When we recognize God as our neighbor, we become members of the household of God, saints in the spiritual kingdom. There is a complete surrender of self into the infinite sea of spirit. The good of God flows to us through all who become part of our universe. And to those who live in communion with God, serving God through their fellow man, the promise is literally kept. All that I have is thine. No longer is there a need or a desire for any person or anything. I wasn't feeling that way. Boy, I needed her. Maybe there's something to this. Everything and every person become part of our being. What we surrender, we have. What we hold in the grasp of possession, we lose. Everything we release, we draw to us. everything we loose, we have. Everything we set free, we bind to us forever. Loose him and let him go. Let everyone be loosed in Christ. We trust everyone to the God of his own being. We do not hold anyone in bondage to a debt of love, hate, fear, or doubt. We do not demand even love from anyone. We agree that no man owes us anything. Only when we do not feel a debt of obligation, and only when we hold no one in a debt of obligation to us, are we free, and do we set our world free. And those two paragraphs, my dear friends, completely changed my existence. Because I put down the book and I made the decision I was going to follow those principles. I was going to love God by loving God's creation, for God and his creation are one. And I was going to surrender, let go of having to have her or anybody. And I did that. And the next morning I woke up and my head started out, oh, she's with these. And I spoke out loud and I said, hey, take that out of here. That's not my problem. And then I turned to God and I said, God, I love you. What do you want to do today? And I realized that if I had a new sweetheart, I would call her up and say, what do you want to do? And if she said, let's go to the beach, we'd go. Well, that's the way it is when you're in love. What does she want? You give it to her. And I thought, now I'm going to do that same thing with God. And I said, God, what do you want to do today? And I waited. I got quiet. And no answer came. So I said, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the dishes there and vacuum the floor. And if you need something, let me know and we'll do it. And so I went over and I started doing the dishes. And I remembered Brother Lawrence. He said he practiced the presence while doing the dishes. And so I did the dish and I said, here, God, this one's for you. And I did the very best I could on that dish. And I said, look, God, it's so shiny I can see myself in it. I put it in the dryer, in the drainer, I put it on the drainer there on the counter next to the sink, and then I did the next dish and the next dish, and I did them all for God, talking to God the whole time. And then I went and I got the vacuum cleaner and I vacuumed the floor for God and did the very best I could just for God, talking to God the whole time. Oh, look at that, I can get in the corner there. And then I put that away and I sat down on my chair. I read a little from The Art of Meditation and the phone rang. And on the other end of the phone was Ray, and he said, can I come over and talk? And I said, yeah, come on over. He said he had a problem. And so I couldn't really talk out loud to God while Ray was there, so I had to go within myself. And within myself I said, Father, how may I best be of service? Please use me. And outside I said, hi, Ray, come on in. Would you like a cup of coffee? He said, yeah. So I made him a coffee, and inside myself I said, Father, you say whatever he needs to hear. And outside I said, so tell me, Ray, what's going on? You see, I was praying without ceasing, and I was concentrating on God, not Ray. And I looked through Ray to God, and an amazing thing happened. Ray was expecting me to have all these problems, and instead he brought his problems. His problems came to the surface, and he spoke them, and they dissolved. The answer was revealed right there between us. And he went away, and he said, wow, thank you. And I said, don't thank me, thank God. And off he went. And I had a plant in the living room there. It was a wandering Jew, and it never got any sun. And I talked to the plant, and I looked through the plant to God, and I would get up in the morning and say, hi, Father, how are you? And I'd water the plant. Are you thirsty? And then I had a cat, a black cat named Sufi. And Sufi would come in, and I would say, hi, Father, are you hungry? I give Sufi some food. And I looked through the cat to God. And I started to look through everything. Remember? Joel said in the book, serving God through his fellow man, the promise is literally kept. All that I, God, have is thine. And I started serving God through my fellow man. I went to spiritual meetings at a church, and I stayed on ready in case anybody needed to talk or wanted to talk, so that I could share. And strange things started to happen. Very strange things. Things I've never forgotten to this day. What kind of strange things? Well, one, I went to a restaurant I used to like. I ordered a hamburger and fries and a cup of coffee. And the coffee came and it was hot, and there was some ice in my water, so I took the spoon and got the ice out and a little bit of ice and put it in my coffee and cooled it down, and I was able to drink it. And the waitress from way across the hall there, the restaurant, way across the restaurant, suddenly appeared beside my table with a cup full of ice. She said, "I saw you putting ice in your coffee. I thought you might like a..." Oh, yes, I do. And I thanked her. And inside myself, I thank God. Thank you, Father. The plant in my living room that never got any sunshine, the wandering Jew, it grew like crazy. The recognition of God where the plant appeared. The cat would come walking out of the kitchen. I'd be reading the Art of Meditation or practicing the presence, and I could see it out of the corner of my eye. I'd say, "Just a minute, Father." And it would sit there like a dog, and I'd reach the end of the chapter, and I'd say, "Okay," and it would run over and jump up in my lap. Now, if you have cats or have had them, you know they don't respond that way. They ignore you. This is one of the strangest things that ever happened. I was sitting there trying to read one of these spiritual books one day, and a fly was flying around the room, and it landed on my forehead, and I swatted it away, and it landed on my arm, it landed on the book, it landed on my nose. It was bothering me. And so I started to get up and get the fly swatter, and I stopped in my tracks, and I said, now wait a minute. God's inside of everyone and everything, right? So I stuck out my hand, and I said, "Well, I'm only here to serve, so come on over here and land in my hand here, and I'll put you outside." And I looked, and the fly made a couple more circles around the room, and it came over, landed dead in the center of the palm of my hand, which I had open. And I got up from the couch, and it never moved. This busy fly that was buzzing and buzzing and flying around and lighting on my forehead and arms and nose and book, it did not move. It stayed in the center of my palm. And I got up, and I walked over to the door, and there was a door and a screen door. So with my right hand, I opened the door, and I still had my palm there, and the fly was still there. He didn't move. That's not possible. You know that's not possible. I opened the door and I opened the screen and I stuck my hand out and I said, "There you go, Father," and off he flew. I was beginning to practice the principle, "To him that hath, it shall be given." I was spending my days and nights serving God through, well, loving God through loving God's creation, or God as his creation. And these strange and wonderful things were happening. Another week or two passed. I was sitting there in a meditation, and I realized, oh my goodness, I don't have to have her in order to love her. I don't have to have anybody. And yet, I love the whole creation. I realized that what I had started out practicing and pretending halfway had come true. And I fell in love with God inside God's entire creation. Strange things were happening. And I went to this man, Don, who told me to look for a chapter in the Art of Meditation. I said, "Don, this is fabulous. I'm free. I no longer have to have her. I have discovered God is inside of everyone and everything. And I love God. more than life itself. And he said, that's fabulous. He said, I'm giving a talk down here at this church Wednesday night. Will you come down and give one with me? I said, well, certainly. Because why? Because it was put in front of me to do, and I was serving God through serving the creation. I was practicing the principle. I have love, and I can give it. And so, Wednesday night came, and I talked for about 15 minutes, and then we had a coffee break and some donuts and whatnot, and then we went back to the main speaker, which was Don. He was to speak for 45 minutes to an hour, and he got up and he talked for about 5 minutes on certain spiritual principles he'd discovered in his life, and then he looked down at the podium and he dropped over dead. At least he dropped his body right there and entered the invisible and never came back. Now, I don't know if you know the significance of this, but while the room was breaking into pandemonium and calling, hey, call 911 and all that, I went around the corner where nobody could see me. I sat down and closed my eyes and had a meditation because I knew God was inside of everyone and everything. And the voice said to me as clear as anything, behold, I shall make all things new. And indeed, that voice has taken me from that little corner of that room to around the world and in many dimensions. But the point is, of this whole story, is I learned by being a companion to a plant, to a cat, even to a fly, by being a companion to God, I demonstrated companionship with the infinite, with omnipresence. From then until now, one evening before this experience of going to the meeting and talking with Don, I was sitting by myself, reading The Art of Meditation, and I put it down. And I got quiet, and I meditated. And suddenly, there was no more thoughts. It was just a little period, a few seconds of silence. And at the same time, I felt this presence right there in my room. And it touched me on the side of the face, a very tender, loving touch. And with that, well, it was a tingling feeling in my face, in it, on it, around it, through it, a presence which I saw as my Father, as Christ, as the isness of God. And with it came a sense of peace. And from that moment until now, I have never, ever, ever been alone. And you see, I demonstrated the principle of Christhood. To him that hath, it shall be given. I am a companion, and the Comforter is my companion. And all that the Father has is mine, and the Comforter has never left me. Omnipresence is mine from that time till now, and forever throughout infinity and eternity. I will never be alone again. I demonstrated my Christhood, that I have perfect omnipresent companionship. You see that? I demonstrated it by giving it away. And so, you don't demonstrate companionship by practicing principles until you get a companion. Yes, I have a wife. It's been 23 years, 24 years, and we are completely in love with each other. I love her. She knows she's second to God in my life. And I know I'm second to God in her life. We put God first. And the funny thing is that it includes her. It includes me, because God is inside of everyone and everything. So, that's not to say how great I am, because I almost died having to learn that principle. And you see, when Don introduced me to God, his mission was done. He left. He left. And he passed the torch to me. And now I have it. And hopefully I'm introducing you to God, the God of your being. So that's companionship. That's how Christ lives companionship, by being a companion, by pouring out love, by serving God through God's creation. Now that's how Christ practices companionship, and it's never alone, because all that the Father has is mine. And what about supply? As long as you're thinking in terms of, I need to demonstrate money, I don't have enough of it, well, you're lost. It's not going to work, or it's not going to work very long. Again, companionship is not something you get. You know now, from the story that I just gave, it's something you give. You pour it out from within you. And so, if you're going to demonstrate your Christhood, the principle must be the same with supply. It must be something you pour out from within your Christhood, from the center of your being. So now, how do you pour out supply, especially when you don't have any? Well, that's a mistake. There's never a time when Christ does not have supply. Son, all that I have is thine. All that God has. Well, what does God have? Does God have money? No, really, seriously. Does God have money? No, because God is invisible spiritual presence. God doesn't have money. Well, what is supply? If supply is not money, what is supply? Joel always tells us the story about the oranges. And he talks about the oranges on the tree. And when the oranges are used up and given away or thrown away, in one way or another, an invisible substance begins to form itself as the oranges. You remember that from the book The Infinite Way and the chapter called Supply? And he says in the Kalua study series that evidently very few people have hooked that up, that principle up with themselves. And he knows because they're not demonstrating supply. They're still calling him. Oh, please help me. I have a problem with supply. It's because they're thinking of supply as money, finances, stocks, bonds, income. And that's not supply at all. Then what is supply? I discovered it like this. I discovered it in this pretty near the same experience I just shared with you. That by pouring out love, life gave me love back. That waitress, seeing across that restaurant, came and gave me love in the form of service to me. That was the love that I had poured out. It comes back heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Christ Jesus did not lie. That principle is correct. To him that hath, it shall be given. And Joel points out that there are many ways to prove that you have. How do you prove that you have supply? Well, how did I prove that I had love? By giving it away. Right? Right. How do I prove I have money? Let's take money. How do I prove that I have money? That I own it? That it's mine? I prove it by giving it away. Now remember, I'm telling you this principle not so that you will think how great I am. Please, don't go there. But so that you can see how to live it. How to live your Christhood. Now, last month we gave away over $1,000. We don't give that much every month, but we give something every month. And last month it just happened to be over $1,000. It was the right thing to do. It seemed indicated. And I can tell you that the more that you pour out, the more comes back. But if you do it for that reason, if you start taking inventory like an accountant and keeping track, well, let's see, now I gave away $200, so some 30, some 100, I should get back at least, you know, $600. You know, just don't go there. Just don't do that, okay? It's all and nothing. It's a thousand to nothing. Our job is to live our Christhood and not worry about how life will reflect that back to us. We can know that it'll be heaped up, pressed down, and running over, and that we'll be filled with joy, and that's all we need to know. And so last month we gave away over $1,000 to different places, and we can sit back and rest and know that the universe is going to pour that back somehow. But I don't know how. I know it's already started, because several people have also given to us online as well as in other ways, finding gifts in the post office box. Now that's one way. You can pour out money. And Joel says you can even do that even if you do not seem to have enough. You can pour that out in little ways and see what happens. Do you remember he discussed so beautifully how in the early days he would charge for his practice? Somebody would call or write or cable and say, please help me, and he would help them, and then he would send out a bill for $20 or $25 or whatever he was charging. And the people were having problems and they couldn't seem to pay him. Do you remember what happened? I remember it. He said he was taking a walk one evening and he didn't have the money for a bus or a cab, so he's walking. And on the walk, suddenly he had a realization. I am that I am. Only it was no longer just words, it was a realization. And he realized, I am supply. Oh, I. Yes, that substance at the center of my being, that in a tree forms oranges, in me can form money, it can form housing, it can form cars, it can form clothes, it can form a body, it can form a companion. Yes, I am supply. Now, if I am supply, then why do I have to look for it out here? And immediately he made the decision he was no longer going to send out any bills ever again. And people continued to call and ask for help, and he continued to meditate for them, but he no longer sent out bills. And within a day or two, he saw somebody in an elevator, and they said, oh, hey, Joel, I owe you $200, here. And you see, by pouring out, by demonstrating his Christhood, by pouring out service and money, he stopped looking for a return and just rested in his Christhood. And the universe started pouring back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. And I know, I don't know if you realize this, but I paid attention really close. Anybody that's living these principles, I look at them almost under a microscope to see what they're doing. And Joel Goldsmith gave away 80% of his income. 80%. He gave away to spiritual foundations, to universities, and to higher education, different programs. He gave it away, 80%. And the 20% that he kept was more than enough to take care of him and let him live in the beautiful islands of Hawaii and travel the world. So, he demonstrated Christhood. And you have to start somewhere. So you give what you have to give. To him that hath it shall be given. And that's where I started. How do you prove that you have something? That you own it? The only way you can prove that you have it, that you own it, is to give it away. If I say I have this, we're still talking of money here. If I say I own this $5 bills right here, this $5 bill, but I'm clutching it to myself, well, I don't really own it. It kind of owns me. But if I have the ability to give it away, here, yeah, sure, take it, without any thought of return, just pouring out the same way I would pour out love or service, then I prove that I own it. If I own it, I can do what I want to with it, including give it away. You see that? So, in relationship to supply, and now supply is that spiritual substance. Do you understand that? That spiritual substance at the center of your being, which you have to find a way to let that imprisoned splendor escape. You have to find a way to share that substance in acts of kindness, especially acts of kindness where you don't get found out. They're anonymous. In flowing out your funds, your gifts of money, your gifts of clothes, in service, in time, in prayers when you pray for others, in love when you love God inside of His creation. This is the way you live your Christhood and prove that you have companionship, and you are a companion. You have supply, and you can pour out things and service and money and love. And you prove that you have. To him that hath it shall be given. Now prove that you have it by giving it away. Does that clear that up some? It may not change the picture out here in a day or two, but consistently practicing Christhood, the universe will reflect back to you Christhood, and will reflect back to you, all that I have is thine. Because the principle is, to those who serve God through their fellow man, the promise is literally kept. Son, all that I have is thine. Now what about health? What about life? That confused me for a long time. I could see how I could pour out love and the universe would give me love. I could see how I could pour out supply in things and money and service and the universe would give back supply. But I could not see, how do you pour out health so that the universe will give you back health or life? How do you do that? And it puzzled me. And I looked at it and looked at it, and I finally came to see. Well, this morning I went on a walk. Now, I'm in a few months, well, I'm headed towards 60. And I took a walk this morning, and I walked for about a mile. And here in the mountains, it's not a flat walk. You go up some really steep hills and down and up and down and around. It's the mountains. And when I take my walk in the morning, there's a dog. You know this thing about companionship? Even the animals start to come to you because they recognize Christ. And there's this dog that lives down the street, and he sees me come out my front door, and here he comes barreling up the street, just dying to be with me. And his name is Rocket, I found out. And so Rocket is rocketing up the street. And he's about 10 years old, and he comes rocketing up the street and wagging his tail, and next to me he's like part wolf, so he's really furry, and I pet him, and I say, oh, hi, are you going to join me on my walk? And off we go, and we walk for about a mile, and we come back, and then he slowly walks back home, and I come in my house. Okay, well, when I share that walk with him, and I pet him, I am pouring out energy, am I not? I'm pouring out life. I'm pouring out health. Now, what about when you guys call or send me an email and say, would you pray for me? I'm having this problem. And I sit down and recognize that there's no such problem and no such life. That right where you are, God is. And God is the life. God is the substance. God is the health. God is the only being. And all that God has is you. Am I not pouring out life and health? Yes, I am. I'm pouring out a realization of health, a realization of life. Now, again, please don't think I'm trying to brag. I'm not. I'm showing you how the principle works. I am involved in many places. I'm involved in a 12-step organization, and I work with people that are abusing drugs and alcohol and want to stop. And I work with those people because I myself had a problem 42 years ago. And what freed me from it was the spiritual principles. And so I work with these people to teach them, to help them to learn these spiritual principles that they themselves might find the same freedom in God, or freedom in Christ, or freedom in whatever higher power they choose. Now, in addition to that, you know that I work with the principles of the infinite way and teaching some of those principles and sharing some of those principles with whomever will desire to download these talks. And you know that I have practiced taking the old Herb Fitch talks from reel to reel, putting them on the computer, cleaning them up some, converting them into MP3s, and sometimes typing them out and editing them and making sure they match the talks into an ebook. And I even took the 25 tapes of the Revelation of St. John and turned them into a hard copy, which was put into print as a 2-volume set of books. And so in that way, I'm pouring out the message of the infinite way to the universe. You know also that my wife and I have special needs foster children. And these foster children have been severely abused. And they don't always come to us in the greatest shape. Often they're very, very angry. And we have had little children that are violent. And we had one little boy that would, every night at 6 o'clock, he would say, I'm going to get a hickory stick and beat your ass. Little 6-year-old, he was about 3 feet tall. And he was just spouting out what he had heard. And we had another child that would mark her room, or some room, the way a cat will mark it, instead of using the bathroom like the rest of us. And we had one girl whose arm was severely burned because her father was teaching her a lesson and held it in the fire. And we had another girl who watched her father murder her mother while she hid under the bed. And we had another boy who had to wear eight sets of clothing, one on top of the other, to bed at night. And so I guess you can imagine what happened to him at night. And so the point is that we get these children, and they're very angry, very hurt. And we work with them for a few years. And with these principles, these spiritual principles, are looking through all that muck to the Christ at the center of their being. It doesn't mean that we permit them to do these things. We tell them that these behaviors are unacceptable, and we help them learn other and more appropriate behaviors. and they turn into sometimes very fine human beings. And even better than that, sometimes they begin to grasp these spiritual principles. The point is they heal, and we've proved it over and over again. Often we get them with as many as 9 medications, and usually when they leave here, they're on nothing. So, the point is, we work with these troubled children, and we have for 20-odd years. In fact, 2 more children, and we'll be on our 100th child. And so, can you not see that the principle, to him that hath, it shall be given, that I'm living that principle, and that is living Christhood, pouring out in the 12-step program, pouring out in the infinite way, pouring out with these children, pouring out in the neighborhood. This is pouring out life and health and love and service. This is standing a little to one side instead of being selfish and self-centered and allowing Christ to be demonstrated. In the silence, when I become silent, I have a period every day, most days, if I can remember, I have a period where I just get quiet and let the Christ pour through. I just feel that presence and I let it flow to whomsoever it will, in a service to mankind. And so, my life is filled with companionship, it's filled with supply, and it's filled with life, with health. But why? Have I sought these? Have I prayed for these? No. Oh, no. No. This presence within, this substance at the center of being, this wonderful, beautiful Christ flows out, forms itself in acts of kindness, in acts of service, in acts of love, sometimes in acts of responsibility. But it flows out. It pours itself out. And because it does, I am standing in the center of Christ, consciously aware of it forming itself. And I know that I will never be alone. And I know that all that the Father hath is mine. And I know that my life, God life, Christ's life is eternal and will never die. And so I am consciously aware of Christhood living itself, practicing itself. I'm standing, living, being the principle, to him that hath, it shall be given, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Now, do you see that it's time for us to stop thinking in terms of my supply, my companionship, my health, my life? Do you see it's time to surrender all that? Just throw it away. Just let it go, I mean. Let it go. Bring your attention into the answer. Remember, Joel told us how many times that the answer is not in the problem. Do not meet a problem on the level of the problem. And the problem is a personal sense of existence, and the answer is not there. That has to die. So let it go. The answer has to be in the answer, to him that hath it shall be given. But it can't be a principle you know with the mind. It has to be a principle you live, or you allow to live you. You must be the Christ now, pouring out from the center of your being all that the Father hath. We say that we are ready to die and be reborn. Well, this is the way it works. You die to a personal sense of self, and you are reborn as Christ living itself, pouring forth that which the Father has, which is infinity. Yes, to him that hath it shall be given, but you must prove that you have by giving it away. Now, there's not one of you hearing this that cannot begin to pour. It does not mean that you have to pour with things. You can pour with service and love, too, which will eventually spread over into things and into funds. But eventually you must be the Christ that pours out in all of your affairs. You can't be the Christ in part of your affairs and human in the other part. I remember when I was working in a factory, I used to stay over and work just a little bit longer. And I had already clocked out. I did it just as a service to the company. See, there's a lot of ways to pour. A lot of ways. And I guarantee you, it returns, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. You stand in an infinite kingdom. You stand in an infinity of supply. You stand in the ever-present, omnipresent companion. This is Christhood. This is why you are here. If enough of us will do this, we shall demonstrate Christhood around the earth, around the world. And anyone, anywhere, reaching out will touch Christ. And the torch will be passed, and our light will light their light, until the universe is transformed from earth to Christ. How about you join me? How about you decide now to step out of humanhood and begin demonstrating Christhood? How about you go within and discover that substance at the center and let it pour out itself? You will be amazed. You will be astounded. You will find amazing, wonderful things happening. You will find yourself, well, you will discover the temple not made with hands, the temple that will stand eternal in the heavens, and it will be your resting place. It will be your being. Now let us be still for a moment while we see if there's anything else left to pour out. Yes, there's one other area I forgot to tell you about. It may be important. And that is, about 4 or 5 years ago, I discovered that I could do something else besides go down and buy another copy of Windows. I have nothing against Windows, except that I discovered that there was several organizations working on something called Linux, which is open source software. Now, what's open source software? Well, that's, you can take the software that they wrote, which is an operating system like Windows, and you can change it, you can package it, put your own name on it, sell it, you can do anything you want to. You can share it with anybody. It's absolutely free. Completely free, 100%. And I like that. And the people that were writing this software were people like me who had some knowledge of computer science and were able to program in the language of C or C++. Or machine language or assembly language, they were able to program, and so they wrote these programs and they gave them away to humanity. And I like that. I like that principle. Something about that sounded really good to me. So I investigated and I put Linux on my computer and I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm using Linux, L-I-N, UX Linux Mint. And Linux Mint 13, interestingly enough, called Maya, which we know is Illusion. So I'm using an Illusion on my computer, and I love it. I just absolutely love it. And I investigated it and got into it and discovered some useful things. And I went on the web and I found different Linux websites, and I shared things and wrote some tutorials. And in that way was able to give back to the Linux community worldwide. And I donated some money to different Linux operating systems like Mint and Ubuntu and Solus operating system and Descent operating system and Debian and things like that. So in that way I was able to pour into the computer communities which had already given me so much. And sometimes those gifts are anonymous. I just go online there and I find their website and I donate using PayPal, and they don't know my name because it comes to them under Mystical Principles. And so I'm able to do that anonymous. Now, I'm telling you, there's only 19 of you, 18 of you, and hopefully you'll keep it a secret. And the only purpose of it is to show you that this principle can be practiced anywhere in the world. To him that hath, it shall be given. And so I gave away to these different operating system websites because they're doing really good work and they're giving it away to the world, you see? So there's lots of ways to give, lots of ways to practice this principle. And I live by this principle. To him that hath, it shall be given. And interestingly enough, I didn't really know until making this talk today that I am practicing Christhood. And I'm sure glad, because it really has come back heaped up, pressed down, and running over. Anyway, that's the principle today. To him that hath, it shall be given. You must die to a personal sense of companionship, to a personal sense of supply, and to a personal sense of life and health. You must demonstrate Christhood. And the sooner the better. You can't live as a human, remember? You can't pull God into a human sense of existence, says Joel. And he's right. God will only express as Christhood. And so you either stand on the principle, to him that hath, and you begin proving you hath by practicing and demonstrating Christhood, or you stay in humanhood and prove that you have not. Because to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, because he thinks that's all he has. Alright? Alright, so now all of you need to demonstrate Christhood by pouring out from that substance at the center of your being, pouring out love, pouring out service, pouring out substance, pouring out supply, pouring out life, pouring out health, pouring out prayer. I expect that of all of you. I expect that you really do want to live as Christ. And so who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those that pour out their Christhood. And so in that sense, I would say to you, Happy Mother's Day. Blessings.